Back when I was first beginning a journey, I would say my adult journey with God, I was about 15 years old, and God took me through the Bible, the New Testament, with a very simple question. Should we obey God's commandments? Should we keep His law? And I was specifically trying to answer, should I keep the Sabbath day? And you know what I found? Was that I should. So we meet here today on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, in part because there were things that have been revealed to each of us about this day and what God made it to be. Now, it's very interesting that God wrote the Ten Commandments with His own finger. You know, it says that the rest of the law He spoke and He gave, and it was written down by Moses, but the Ten Commandments He wrote with His own finger. So you may have become convicted to keep the Sabbath day. And you are here, but the question I would say that I get most often is, how do you keep the Sabbath day? What do you actually do? How do you keep it? Okay, I want to obey God, but what do I do? You know, it's very interesting that you will hear a lot of preaching about how to keep the commandment, thou shalt not murder. You know, maybe if we look at it in the letter, it's just, well, don't take anybody's life intentionally, right? That would, don't plot and kill someone. That would be the letter. But of course, as Jesus taught, it goes much deeper than that. Because He said, if you have hatred in your heart, you've already broken that commandment. If you are looking at someone not with the spirit of giving life, but of taking their life, of hating them, of wanting to see ill come upon them, you've already broken the commandment. Or, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's much more than just about a man and a woman or two people or people and beasts or whatever it is getting together and committing sin. But it's actually something that takes place in the heart. And Jesus said, if you even lust in your heart for another, you've already broken the commandment. But what about the Sabbath day? What about the Sabbath in terms of the how? We don't get a lot of encouragement that way. And I realize that as we continue to go on as a body, and as Scott and I look to God, to shepherd, and say, how do we do this? This is probably the commandment you've been least taught about how to keep. But yet, what is so amazing is that there are probably more scriptures of the teachings of Jesus Christ telling you how to keep it than really almost any other commandment there is. Don't you find that amazing? How much time God spends in the Gospels teaching you how to keep something, and people say you don't even need to keep it. Now, one of the things about the church and one of the things about what we do here is it says this is the commission to go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded. And that was Jesus who gave commands. And that's what we want to talk about a bit today. But more than that, throughout the Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to look at some principles about how do we go about keeping the Sabbath the way God ordained it to be kept. Now, here's the thing. We can have an opinion. All of us can have opinions about how to keep the Sabbath. But this is what I would like you to do, to consider the principles that God has already spoken and have recorded for us in His Word about how we should go about doing that. So let's begin with principle number one here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Anybody tell me where you can find that in the Bible? Exodus 20, verse 8. Anybody else? Another one. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, right? Remember the Sabbath. So we're not making these up. So I'm asking you, so I'm not going to turn to every verse here today. But I want you to know where they are because it's the Bible that we're looking to for principles. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does that imply about the Sabbath? That it is holy. Principle number one. You don't make holy time of this day. This day was made holy by God in the beginning. Genesis 2, verse 1. God rested from all His works and He blessed and sanctified it. He did it. He made it. When God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, what we need to remember is that He made it holy. Now, how many of you would believe that God said, let there be light on day number one? Yeah. How many of you believe that He set the sun and the moon to rule over the day and the night on day number four? Right. Now, let me ask you this. How did you know it happened on day number one with the light and day number four with the signs in the heavens? How do you know that that happened? It's what it says. How do you know the Sabbath was made holy? Because he said, you cannot know this of your own experience. You cannot use scientific method to figure this out. This comes by revelation of Almighty God. And what's so amazing is people try to do away with God as the creator, and they say things like, from all species were derived from a species. But yet God said, no, I did it like this. I made each one in their own kind, kind after kind. Science proves kind after kind. Man tries to come up with something like somehow a dog's going to birth out an ape or something, or an ape's going to birth out a human being. It just doesn't happen. So there's a little science there for you. But the revelation is this. God did it. It's so. If you have faith that God created the heavens and earth, then you have faith that he made the seventh day holy. Because what he did in the first 6 days that you and I would say we believe, we must also confess that he did on the seventh day what he said. So when he gives the command, he doesn't say, make it holy. It's to keep it holy. You're preserving it as holy. How do you do that? How would you keep something that God said, I'm setting this apart as distinct and special? How do you do that? Because what he's really saying is, I don't want you to, don't mess it up. Right? I blessed it. I sanctified it. So the question we begin with as this first principle is, we have to keep it holy. Remember it and keep it holy. That should tell you a lot. Really, if you really come to think about that and think of it in the light of God in the Scriptures, that this is something that God set apart for us together. Because you realize every Sabbath day when we remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, what we're really saying by our actions is, you made everything, and you are God, and I am your servant. My resting from my work and keeping this day holy is saying, I believe in you, God. That's why in Exodus 31, he says, it's a sign between me and my people, because they're saying, it's between us. How is it between us? I told you, you read it, you believed it. It's between us. It's very personal and intimate. The Sabbath day is a very intimate day. It is a very intimate day. And should be a very intimate day of fellowship between you and God. All right? So principle number one, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. In it you shall do no work. Where do we get that from? Yes, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. So see, you had help. The first people answered for you, right? It's the same verses. In it you shall do no work. You shall rest from all your labors. Okay, so I want you to think about what is the work that you do. I know for me, I go to a job. I work around the house. I have activities of work that I do on the 6 days. Friends, part of the commandment is God said, 6 days you shall work. It's part of the process. Don't ignore that part of God's commandment either. 6 days you should work. Do all your labor. There's something very valuable in work. But on the seventh day, he says, I want you to stop your productivity and the things that you're working on in the field or in your garden or at your job or around the house. I want you to set this day apart as something different. 6 days you're going to work. 6 days you're going to be pursuing your own callings, your own tracks. But this day is set apart as something special. I don't want you to be doing any work on it. Remember that God brought you out of slavery. Who knows where that is stated? Okay? Exodus 12. In the commandment of the Sabbath, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it's a little switch. In Exodus chapter 20, he says, 6 days, right, you shall do all your work. The seventh day you shall rest. In it you shall do no work, you nor your sons, daughters, manservants, maidservants, beasts, or anything that is in your keep. For in 6 days God made the heavens and earth. But in Deuteronomy he said, you shall do it because you were a slave. And I brought you out of Egypt. You will remember this. Now how were you a slave? To sin. You were a slave in this world. You were born into slavery. You ever really stop to think about that? See, we say the land of the free, right? The home of the brave. That we think of ourselves as being born free, but in reality, we were all born into slavery. We were born in a sinful flesh. We were born in a world where God has been rejected. Freedom, liberty that God gave to Adam and Eve when He placed them in the Garden of Eden and said, only take of this tree. It was all messed up when they decided to disobey God. Each of us has been born into slavery. Now, who can tell me, when God freed His people, what was the first part of the law He revealed to them? What was the very first thing He taught them when He brought them out of Egypt to keep the Sabbath? Exodus chapter 16. Right after they walked through the Red Sea, right after He had given them something to drink, right after He's working with them, and now they're hungry in the wilderness. You know what He says? I'm going to test you whether you will keep My law or not. So whose law is it? His. Remember that as well. Because in remembering the Sabbath, we're remembering that He made it, and we're remembering that it's His law. Who has authority in your life today? You see, if we're just making the decisions for ourselves, this probably is not going to have much impact on you. You're going to do what you want. But if we look to God's Word and say, what did God say about it? He said it was His law. So Exodus chapter 16. The first thing He gave them was the Sabbath. In fact, I just want to read that verse. I want it to be firm in your mind. I didn't get strong answers on that one. So let's turn to Exodus 16. Make sure you've seen this verse. Let's put this word again into our hearts and minds. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. God said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in My law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Why? Because He wanted them to not go out. Notice here, verse 23. "This is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord." To whom is it holy? Who made it holy? It's His. It's God's. It's not about what we decide. It's who made it and who declares it. "Bake what you'll bake today, boil what you'll boil, lay up for yourselves what remains to be kept until morning." Okay? And they laid it up till morning, and the Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep My commandments and My laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, He gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place and not go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. So I want you to realize how profound this is. Almighty God is saying, I'm not doing any work. I'm going to rain 6 days. I'm going to give extra for you on the sixth, because I want to see if you're going to follow what I'm teaching you to do. That you're going to use the 6 days, and the seventh is going to be a day of rest. It's a day again in it you shall do no work. It's not the day to be going out and gathering. Now, I want you to really think about this, because He freed a people who were slaves, who were every day what?
Working.
Busy, busy, busy working. And the first thing He does to the freed people is say, guess what, guys? You all get a day off. Why are people so resistant to that? You get a day off. You don't have to gather. You don't have to do any work. I will provide for you. This is a day of rest. Rest. You don't have to do your labor. Rest. Free people get time off. Slaves are busy going, 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 going all the time. I'll tell you what, running my own business, I know that there would be times when I would just keep going, going, going. I see people get into the cycles of going, going, going. Used to be business was 5 days a week, and it was 6 days. Now it's 7 days. People want to keep working and doing, and it's a constant striving that's going on. the stores that used to be closed. In my childhood, the stores were closed in honor of a first day Sabbath, a Sunday Sabbath. But at least man still recognized, or Christians still recognized, the need to rest from labor and the need to spend time with God. Do you find it amazing that as Sabbath keeping has gone by the wayside, because you realize even 100 years ago or so, people in this country would recognize a Sabbath. Whether on the first day or the seventh day, it was recognized. Do you realize that as the Sabbath has gone by the wayside, so has this nation's relationship with God? Why do you think that is? Everybody wants to get so smart and spiritualize it away and say, we can do this any day of the week. And what ends up happening is people do it no days of the week. They dedicate nothing to God. Do you think you can continue in relationships when you spend no time on them? And what's happening is God's saying, I want this time to be set apart as special and holy. To keep it holy means that you keep God in it. That God is in that time all the time. Now, do we walk with God 7 days a week, 24/7? Absolutely. That's what we should do. But this is special time set apart for different purposes. So understand that. It's not one day relationship, but it is a special time of the relationship. It's just like I go to work and I'm working and my wife might be working at home. We still have a marriage and a relationship. But when we take time and sit down for a meal together, there's something more special about that. When we take a day off of work and we go on a date, there's something more special about that. And it strengthens and builds the relationship because extra time and attention is put on things that can't be done if I'm going to run a business and she's running the home and taking care of the children and all the different activities that God says do 6 days a week. Because in that, there are other things that are being learned that are important for our lives in productivity that God wants to see. But there has to be this coming back time where there is rest and there is refreshment in God. And remember, you are not a slave. You're free. The freed people were given the Sabbath. Time off. Now, turn with me. Oh, quiz time. Oh, see, Chauncey, I didn't even ask the question. I was going to give a prize, but you answered so quickly. Isaiah 58, Chauncey says. So let's turn there. Isaiah 58. Chauncey has the Holy Spirit. He knew what I was going to ask before I asked it. Isaiah chapter 58. Notice here in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. Now, what is he saying by that? It seems kind of strange in the way we'd read it. Basically, don't trample on this day. Again, the principle, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Don't walk all over this. Don't make it common. Remember how when Moses approached the bush and the Lord spoke to him from the bush saying, take off your sandals, this is holy ground. Think of the mindset that taking off his sandals put in Moses as he's approaching the Lord and the Lord's saying that. God's saying the same thing. He said, don't walk all over this. Keep it holy. It's something different. Turn your foot away from trampling Sabbath. And notice, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. The holy day of the Lord honorable. And shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Now notice that. What he says, he gives these principles. Do not do your own ways. Do not seek your own pleasure. Do not speak your own words. Call the Sabbath a delight. Delight yourself in God. What does he want? See, there's something very directive about these verses. These verses so often get overlooked when people talk about keeping the Sabbath and how to do it. So often we get stuck in number two and we don't really think about, no, God's given not just what not to do. He's very specific about what to do if you read it in the Spirit. So when he says, don't do your own ways, saying the things that you normally go out to do, these should not be part of your day. The words that you speak, don't just speak whatever you want, whatever you're doing. Think about what you're speaking. And the things that you find pleasure in. The things, the course of your life, the callings that you have, it's not the day for it. So think about that principle. How do you make the day then something good? If he's saying don't do this, what he's really saying is you're not going to make it common by doing the things you commonly do. You're going to make it holy by doing things that are set apart to me. So when he says, again, notice this in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58 in verse 13. You shall honor him not doing your own ways. Okay, so think about the concept of honoring God and delighting in God. Not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. So when you think about this day, we said the first principle would be how to keep it. Remember it to keep it holy. Don't trample all over it. Don't walk all over it. But how are you honoring God in it? That's an important part of the day. Are you honoring God? Is His pleasure your pleasure? Are His ways your ways? Are you focusing on His words to give it to someone else? You see what we're doing right now? Right now, at this very moment, I am giving you the words of God. I am trying to build you up and edify you in knowing what God has said, in knowing who He is and the things that He's instructed, so that I can help you in your walk with God. Because I want you delighting in Him. The people that don't take time for God will not delight in Him. Don't fool yourself into thinking that they will. I hear many people say, I'm godly, I'm Christian, and the acts in their lives go very opposite of His word. We just looked at all those stats. How many people say they're Christian and how many people don't agree with this when it comes to their opinions on sexuality? It happens in all facets of life. If you don't spend time delighting in God, you won't be delighting in God. The Sabbath is a coming back to that time. You've worked all week. Now you come back and say, I'm stopping that. Here I am, God. To rest from my labors, to reflect on the blessings you've given me, to partake of the blessings that you've given me this week so that I have enough to eat on this day, to remember that you're my God, to remember that you provide for me, to remember that you created me in your image, to remember that you made me to love you and serve you and to love others and serve others, because that is your pleasure and that is your delight, that my attentions be turned somewhere else. Not on me and what I want, but on you and what you want. I want you to think about how active that is. I want you to think about honoring God and delighting yourself in Him. See, if we just say the Sabbath is a day of doing no work and rest, and we don't really think about these principles, we're going to miss it. We'll keep it in the letter, but the letter will only get you to idleness. It'll get you to inactivity. If the whole Sabbath is sleeping, are you really honoring God? I want you to think about that. If the whole Sabbath is doing nothing, have you really honored God? Because I'm going to challenge you, saints. I don't think it is. I don't think that that is keeping the Sabbath. Is there time for extra rest and extra sleep? Sure, why not? But if that's all it is, that's not what the day is. If it's just saying, well, I'm not going to work, but I'm going to do whatever I find fun, is that what it is? Well, that's not the day to pursue your own passions and desires. It's a day to pursue the pleasures of God. That's why he says, Isaiah 58, do not seek your own pleasure. Those things that might be of your own self. There's time for that 6 days. You're going to pursue things. You're going to go after things. God's giving you that freedom. But this is a time for the real liberty, which is pursuing the passions of God. And you're going to do it only. It's different. It's special. A holy convocation. Who knows where that is? Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23. In verse 3, 6 days work shall be done, But the seventh day, this is again Leviticus 23 and verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. Who knows what a convocation is?
Coming together to worship God.
Yes, exactly. Hartmut, coming together to worship God. It's an assembly that is coming together of a sacred assembly of people together. Right now, friends, you are in a holy convocation. It's a time of gathering together. Now, what's very interesting about this word is, as we kind of look at it in the New Testament, it's not translated the same way, convocation, in the New Testament, but the same meaning is found in the word synagogue. Synagogue is a gathering meeting. Now, you're saying, well, wait a minute, isn't synagogue a place or a building? Yes. How did it get the name synagogue? Because that's the place they came to meet. Look it up in the Greek. Synagogue is the place of gathering. So when you read in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it's in verse 24, it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself. What's the word there, assembly? Episynagogue. It's the word that from the Hebrew. It's the same meaning that you find for the Sabbath day. It's a time of gathering together. That's why we meet here on the Sabbath day. That's why we call a holy convocation, a holy assembling, a holy meeting on this day. That's why. We've been given instruction to do it. So why do we commit to doing it? Because it's part of the day, a holy convocation. Notice this in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Whose example do we follow? So notice Luke 4, 16. And he came to Nazareth. This is speaking of Jesus. After he had gone up into the wilderness, he had fasted for 40 days. He was tempted and overcame the evil one. He returned in the power of the Spirit, it says in verse 14. And he taught in the synagogues, verse 15. And notice 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So when you think of Jesus, if we said, what does Jesus do on the Sabbath? Well, one thing that was known as his custom, the thing that he did, was he went to the synagogue. So, again, holy convocation, a time of meeting. There he is in the synagogue. That's part of the day. Having this time of gathering together. And as it says in Hebrews 10, so much more so as you see the day approaching. It is lawful to do good. Up in the stakes now. Where is that verse found? It is lawful to do good. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 begins in verse 1. Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and the disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. It's a problem. What were they doing? Harvesting. You could say working. You might say, hey, there were infractions here, right? But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Do you understand what he's saying there? The law was on the showbread that nobody could eat it. It had to be placed in at the beginning of the week. The showbread sat there for 7 days, and at the end of 7 days, the Levitical priest would go in and they could eat it then at the end of the week. It was holy, but it was only supposed to be for them. So what happened in the story was they were hungry. They needed food, and the only food they had was that bread. And he gave it to David, and Jesus is saying, not a problem. Not a problem. But it was against the law. Or was it? See, there's a difference between where the laws are implied in the letter and the laws are applied in the spirit. And our challenge and our understanding of these things has to be beyond the letter to the spirit of what is being taught. See, Isaiah was giving a spiritual principle when it said, don't do these things. But if you only didn't do that, you would only get it in the letter. If you just said, well, I'll do absolutely nothing, you would miss the spiritual relevance of it. If you only said, I'm not doing my own ways, speaking my own words, and I'm not going to do anything, you would be still and quiet the whole day. There are churches like that. They say nothing. That is not Rock Valley. Let me tell you that. I see Greg doing the lights at 2:30 these days. You know, it's like, let me go home. It's awesome. Have hospitality. Spend time together. Just let Greg go home and have some on his own. But also, he says, have you not read on the Sabbath day the priests profane the Sabbath? How? You know, on the every day there was to be offerings in the morning and in the evenings. Do you know on the Sabbath it says, bring extra. It says, I want you to bring these Sabbath offerings that I'm commanding you, but I want you to offer them in addition to the daily offerings. Another principle we could have. I didn't get them all up here, but for today, this is what you get. The principle of bringing extra sacrifice. But what did that mean to the priests? More work. But the work they were doing was what? God's work, offering sacrifices to Him. So the labor they were doing is not sin. It's actually lawful. Because they're doing it unto God. Now this is very important to understand when it comes again, when God says, 6 days you shall work, the seventh day you shall rest, and eat, you shall do no labor. Because God was not saying, I don't want you doing nothing in terms of idleness. What He was saying was, I want you to stop the normal work you do. But this is a day to be focused on His work. That's the work that is of value to God on this day. It's seeking His way. It's seeking His pleasure. It's speaking His word. Do you see where the focus is? The work of the Sabbath is a spiritual work in God. What you're giving to build up one another, to stir up one another, to exhort, to encourage, to comfort. Verse 6, yet I say to you, in this place there is one greater than the temple. He was speaking of Himself, Jesus. In verse 7, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not have condemned the guiltless. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So another principle you could throw up there. It's not a day to judge. It's a day to practice. Practice. Practice keeping the Sabbath honorable and holy to God. So when he departed there, it says in verse 9, he went to the synagogues, and there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. And he said, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? In other words, you see the animal in trouble, who wouldn't do the work to get it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Now, I want you to think about that word lawful and what Jesus is saying here, because the examples of His life, and we can show repeated examples, and I'm sure if you've read the New Testament, you're aware of these. Jesus spent a lot of time healing on the Sabbath. He was trying to break what had gone on as a mentality and approach to the Sabbath as being a day of idleness. Don't do this. Don't carry this. Don't walk this far. Don't do this. There's all the rules. Even don't heal on the Sabbath. All the things. And what Jesus is saying, you're missing the point. The point is, this is a day dedicated to godliness and godly things, and we would never stop doing the things of mercy on this day. He says it is lawful. I want you to think about that. If it's lawful to do good, it means that doing good is the fullness, the full of the law. It's full of it. Don't you get it? It's not just okay. It is what it is. The law is teaching mercy, faithfulness, love. If we're not expressing that in our keeping of the Sabbath, if we're saying, I can't do this, I can't be helpful, I can't show mercy, think of how wrong that would be. You actually abdicate the law to keep a rule. Your practice has led you astray. The Pharisees weren't seeing that this day of mercy, this day of giving life, this day of helping, was what God made it for. It was to give life and rejuvenation. And they're saying, you shouldn't be healing. It's like, you missed it. In your keeping of the Sabbath, you break it. What you can accuse them of is wrong. They're guiltless. You see the principles. We start with a beginning about our works, our pleasures, our ways. But what we're now seeing is His work, His pleasure, His ways. That's what Jesus was demonstrating. That's the example He's giving. That is a dedication that Jesus Christ had to Almighty Father to heal, liberate, and show mercy. Turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 13. Luke in chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Where's Jesus? Verse 10. He's teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and He said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath." And the Lord said to him, "Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" In some ways, it's almost the perfect day, because it's a day of His works. It's a day of what He's doing. It's a day of honoring God. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for man. I want you to think about that, because that means that when God was creating the heavens and earth, and He relays all that to us in Genesis 1, when He gets to Genesis 2, He's thinking, resting, blessing, and sanctifying. But Jesus is declaring that in His creation of the Sabbath, He said it was made for man. His thought, His purpose, the Sabbath was made for man. It was supposed to be a gift from God to you. I said, the Sabbath is really a very intimate day. It really is a time of great quietness when you consider that you're entering into something that you can't see, touch, feel, taste, smell. But yet, by faith, it is so real. And this time is something that God sanctifies and sets apart. And He says, "I made it for you. This would be our time." And for us, that this would be our time. That it would be a time of coming together as saints, a time of mercy, acts of goodness, of life. You say, "I want to keep the Sabbath." You say, how do I do this? Look at all the principles. And this is not even close to all of them. I just took 12. I thought 12 would be enough for today. But it's 12 principles that should guide the purposes, which guides the how and the why. So you think about this. I'm going to give you some examples from my life. I used to go to football games every Friday night. When I was in high school, Friday night was the time to go out and do football games. You know why? It was fun. It was my pleasure. So when I started keeping the Sabbath, did I keep doing that? No. Because that was what I wanted to do. That was my pleasure. That was my pursuit. That was my calling. You guys probably know I'm from Chicago. I enjoy the Bears. I'm sorry to admit it. The Cubs, even more sorry to admit it. But I do. But they can't take the place on the Sabbath. Cubs are in town. They come to Murrieta. I'm not going to see him on the Sabbath. Why? Because that would be my pleasure. It has no place of my time on this day. Going to a sporting event would be my pleasure. That would be something that I might enjoy. But my focus isn't on doing for me. Now get that. It's not about me. My work, my pleasure, my words. We could say my agenda. The agenda is brought by God. What is the agenda? Honor God. Delight in God. Worship God. Think about God. Think about how to serve your neighbor. Think about how to give liberty. Why does God talk about remembering Him as Creator? So you will have faith and you're building your faith in Him. Why does He say remember your slave? Because He wants you to help others come out of slavery. That is the work. Are you helping somebody out of slavery? Are you lifting a burden? You say, well, I don't know how to do this. I'll tell you, there is a way that all of you, every single one of you, can lift a burden. Sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, or a little card, or in front of your computer, and type a letter to somebody where you really communicate something of value. Where you talk to them what's going on in your life. Where you share with them things God is doing in your life. Where you just say, I'm thinking about you, and I'm concerned about you. How are you? What's happening in your life? You realize every person can minister to somebody else. How about this? You go home from church today, you get down on your knees, and you pray, but not for yourself. You start thinking of every person you talk to today. You think about the things that you spoke to them about, and you pray about those things. You are then acting like a priest. You are then acting like a holy one of God. You are keeping the day holy, thinking not of yourself, but of someone else. There are principles that once you discover, open up a whole world of what to do, of how to do it, of how to encourage and strengthen and exhort, of how to come before God and say, you're it! You're my everything! Everything for you, God. On this day, you come out to God, though, where God is your everything. God is everything. And what this does is produce such a peace and satisfaction for your soul, because you're not chasing down, for me personally, the produce. You're not doing the tiling. Not selling the insurance. Not doing the windows. Not cleaning the house or doing a toilet or mowing the lawn. You're not doing all the stuff of work, but you're thinking about God and you're taking that and coming together and serving, whether in this fellowship or anywhere else. Praying to God. Praising Him in song. Meditating on His Word. Reading His words, His law, His statutes, His testimonies, the songs, the Gospels, thinking about them. Going to visit someone who is in a nursing home or in an old folks home or a senior center. You know, thank you to all of you that come to see my mother, but when I look at the people that come there, it's mostly for Lila. Not for many other people. When I see the people that are taken out of the home where she lives, or the visitors, not much. Make it be you. Why won't you do that? Show that mercy. Show that generosity of time. God's giving you the time. You could be stuck in your home, and you could spend the day reading His Word, praising Him. You could spend the day praying for others and writing them cards. That would be a pretty awesome Sabbath. If you were thinking about other people. But here's the thing. If it's only idleness, and it's only sleeping the day away, and it's only about me getting, you know, to sleep till noon, or, you know, 27 hours on a 24-hour day, that's not honoring God, is it? Is it really keeping it holy? Is there anything dedicated to God in that? Maybe you need to go to bed early so you can get up early. And we have prayer meetings here every Sabbath morning at 9:45. Go to bed. Here's a novel idea. Go to bed at 10 o'clock. Get 8-9 hours of sleep and get here for the prayer meeting. Why? Because in the prayer meeting, you have an opportunity with your brothers and sisters who have like-minded beliefs to come to God together in prayer. That's honoring of God. It's delighting in Him and in His purposes and not just having a lazy day. Now, friends, sometimes there is time where you had a lot of work and you need extra rest. That's not what I'm saying. So hear me that that's not available to you, but that's not the purpose of the day spiritually. It's a spiritual time with God. Jesus was doing the work of His Father on the Sabbath day. He was going to the synagogues. He was preaching the word. He was reading. He was encouraging. He was showing mercy. He was healing. Are you seeking the gifts of God's Spirit? Are you asking Him to fill you with a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, with the gift of healings and the working of miracles? Are you asking God to give you gifts to help people when they're in need? You know, what happens here is a beautiful time of fellowship. I love the way we love to be with each other and talk and fellowship. But I'm going to ask you this. Break out, not just for those that you enjoy it with the most, break out to those who you can seek to serve. You should have some contact with everybody here. Seek out. Make it a goal that you're going to have conversations to find out enough about somebody today. Maybe two people, three people, four people. Find out enough about them. Take interest in their lives. Take interest in what God is doing in them, where they have need, so that you can intercede on their behalf. So that when you leave this place and you go to God in prayer, that you have enough to pray about two or three or four people, that you could spend time pouring out your life for someone else. Because when we do this and keep God's Sabbath day holy, as God is holy, what we end up finding is we give our lives for God and our neighbor. This is the love of God, that you would lay down your life for another. You have the opportunity to do that, not physically being crucified as Jesus was, but giving your time willingly for someone else to serve, to minister, to help. This day is fully dedicated to that. And here's the beautiful thing. The more you enter into time of rest with God and you are refreshed by Him, just as He was refreshed from His works, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, there it remains a sabbatismos. That word often gets overlooked by us in English because it's translated rest. But the words rest in that chapter, earlier in the chapter and later, aren't the word Sabbath. But there one place, it should be, there remains a Sabbath day for the people of God. People ought to rest from their works as He did from His. But as we rest from our works, what we enter into is the holy work of God laying down our lives. And as we do that on the Sabbath, it flows over into our week. It trains us. It teaches us. It keeps us on point. And God made it for you. Will you reject the gift God made for you? Or will you say, no, He made it for me. I'm going to accept it. Knowing it's for my good. He put it in the commandments. It must be good. He said it's a sign. It must be good. He said that, pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath at the time of the great tribulation. It must still be there. He said that it'll come to pass in the new heavens and the new earth. All flesh will come and worship me on the Sabbath. This is something God has foreseen as a beautiful time where you spend 6 days working, being productive, and then you come before God on that seventh day. And it's just all for Him. Nothing distracting you from Him, from His purpose and His plans and your love for others. Friends, you can think of so many things. I'm glad to answer any questions that you have about how to keep the Sabbath. But here's the thing. If you understand the principles, then you can start making your judgments for your life. Not somebody else's life, but for your life. Start making the judgments of how does God want me to do this? See, if you put yourself under the authority of this word, all these principles come right from the Bible. These are all things that we've read or had quoted from the different verses. If you look at what God says, just say, God, how do I keep the Sabbath? That's what He says. Take it all in. Don't just focus on one part. or one principle. Look at how the principles work together in wholeness. I wouldn't be out today changing a flat tire on my car if I didn't have to. But I'll tell you what, if I drive away from here today and I see somebody pulled over to the side of the road having trouble changing their tire and they have the stuff, they just don't know how to do it, I'm getting out and changing it. Do you see? I'm not doing my own work. I'm doing it to help somebody else who's in need. You would use that time. You know, if you say, well, I don't want to turn the heat on today because, you know, it's lighting a fuse or it's kindling a fire or something. Well, so you're going to make everybody freeze? Well, how's that being merciful? Actually, a good service would be light the fire and keep people warm. The rule might be don't do a bunch of work on the Sabbath and don't be doing that. But what's the principle? Flip a switch and it comes on. If you have heat at your house, you got the lights on right now. Why? Because it serves a greater purpose that we can see each other in this room. Think about the purpose. Stay focused on delighting in God and honoring Him and doing His work. And it all kind of takes care of itself. Make your focus on what you should do to God. And the all, can I do this, can I do that? Those all kind of fall by the wayside. Because it's not about seeing how far can I push it to do what I want. It's always about doing what He wants. His words, His ways, His pleasure. Meditate on that and delight yourself in the Lord God Almighty.